We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to the Pat Mayo Experience, presented by DraftKings. It took a while, but we are here. 2022, the top 150 fantasy football rankings, half-point PPR. If you don't care what I have to say, you only just want to say, Pat, where's the list? Easy stuff. Hit the description. Top 150, running back, wide receiver, quarterback, tight end. They're all in there. So you can just click on that, follow along. Of course, they're going to change every few days with injuries, whatever may happen. I will have them updated for you. Not every day, because who's got time for that? But every second day, let's say, or if major news happens, I will have all of the rankings adjusted perfectly for you. You want to run your own projections? You want to get in? Well, you want to run your own projections. Go to runthesims.com. It's completely free to use. You can toggle around with whatever you want to do. But if you want to get in on the daily fantasy package and betting package, it's the same thing. If you do it before August 15th, which maybe you're watching this after, hey, you missed out on a free $50. But you can still use promo code Mayo. runthesims.com/Mayo. Get yourself an extra 10% off. Highly suggest that you go do that. And for those of you out there wanting to play in the best tournament on DraftKings, Chris Meany's in studio with me, by the way, of FTNFantasy.com. The Listener's League is now open. It's down in the description. There's 5,000 spots, $75,000 guaranteed, rake-free money for week one on DraftKings. Go get your spot right now because it's going to fill.
You can't find a better tournament than that. No, you can't. This is my favorite time of the year. The studio is looking fantastic, Pat. I am happy to be here to break down your top 150. But you're right. I mean, that DK tournament, your tournament every weekend, is my favorite to join. There's no question about it.
No, 100%. But it's not just going to be us because we need the people's voice, as many have said. So we need to get that interjection of the guy who probably hasn't paid attention to fantasy for a while, although he's been on the show talking about football for the past, I don't know, 6 weeks. But we'll see how it goes. His name is Tim Andergust.
Tim Andergust.
That's not my name.
How would you say you're ready for the fantasy season so far? Because you have not organized our Keeper League yet.
I think you just answered your own question. not incredibly. I did spend some time yesterday going through your ranks, though I treat the ranks sort of like the numbers from Lost. You think they're important, but in the end, they mean absolutely nothing. You're going to draft where you're going to draft, and you're going to get the guys you like. So this is a fun little exercise, but in the end, just, you know, find people that are in and around the area of where you're drafting, and then just take them.
Well, let's jump into it. Let's go to the top 10 fantasy football rankings for 2022. Once again, hit the description, find it. Christian McCaffrey, Meany, is my number one player. Jonathan Taylor, Derrick Henry. Running back, running back, running back. Then Cooper Kupp, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, Devontae Adams, CeeDee Lamb, Stephon Diggs, and Najee Harris before it becomes a bunch of running backs. Once again, at the like 11 turn, you got Eckler, Fournette, Dalvin Cook. Those are the next three players, 11, 12, and 13. Then Travis Kelce makes his way into the mix. One spot ahead of Joe Mixon. I started thinking to myself, like, if I was in that spot and it was between Kelce and Mixon at like the beginning of the second round, who would I take? Like, I'm taking Travis Kelce.
You're taking, and I know you pretty well, and you're always taking Travis Kelce. I feel like that's your guy. I'm actually shocked that he's not inside your top 10 here.
Can I tell you why he's not inside the top 10?
Yes.
Because I think Kyle Pitts could be the number one tight end. And I think that Pitts and Andrews are now close enough to Kelce, and I could be way off on that,
yep.
that one of the reasons to draft Kelce, at least according to me, and I think it's proven itself out over the past 4 years or so, is he's a lock to be the number one tight end, and he's so much better than everyone else. It'll always be someone pushing him. But like last year, it was Andrews. No one thought it was going to be Andrews. Right. 1 year, it was Kittle. And that year, no one thought it was going to be Kittle. 1 year, it was Waller. No one thought it was going to be Waller. But Kelce was the constant that you could throw inside the top 10 and be like, I'm drafting Travis Kelce, and you're playing in a 12-team league. I have a severe advantage over Absolutely. 10 of the other teams
yeah.
and still over the 11th, who has the number two guy.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And still, Kelce has that upside. I mean, if you leave your draft with him, and you know whether it's the end of the first, early second, I still view, you just have to view him as your wide receiver one, and that's it. But, you know, it's going to be a different offense in KC this year. Baltimore hasn't really done anything at the wide receiver position, so Andrews can certainly, you know, be tight end one again. And for Kyle Pitts, I mean, he didn't have a touchdown in North American soil. His one touchdown came over in London, but all the other yards, the targets, the mismatch across the field lining up out wide, those things are going to continue. And in year two, I mean, there's question marks at the quarterback position in Atlanta, but I think there's terrific value in Kyle Pitts. And when we get into him, I think you have him ranked fairly. But I think he's a very strong tight end one. And, you know, again, you view him as a wide receiver one if you have him.
Oh, yeah. I have that, and that's why he gets the elevation in the rankings, because he is like a low-end wide receiver one.
That's right.
And I have him at tight end two, Andrews at tight end three. I have them back-to-back in the top 150 at 23 and 24. But, Tim, let's circle back up to the top. You have the first pick. Who are you taking?
I'm probably taking McCaffrey because I'm a sucker for punishment. I mean, I think Taylor probably should be the first pick, but I'm going to take McCaffrey anyway.
Hold on. Well, why should Taylor be the first pick, but you'd take McCaffrey anyway?
Because McCaffrey, I just don't trust him as much. If you've had him in the last two seasons, he's done nothing but violence to your fantasy team. So I can understand being gun-shy about him, but the thing is, he's just the most talented running back / receiver player that you can possibly acquire. So I mean, you're betting on the come. You're betting that he doesn't get hurt, because if he doesn't get hurt, your pick cannot be a bust. Whereas Taylor, it's just an indisputable fact. Whereas, you know, Taylor played marvelously last year. So did Henry, but Henry missed time. And I want to take a running back with that first pick. So I just think McCaffrey's riskier, but McCaffrey's the better player.
You betting on the come, meaning?
Yeah, I don't know. Taylor's number one for me. I see what Tim is saying. I see what you're saying here, too. Honestly, you know, CMC has the higher ceiling. He's more explosive, you know, with his pass-catching abilities. But, you know, I guess you just have to ask yourself, do you take the safer pick, you take a risk, or you're splitting hairs here?
I guess the reason that I like McCaffrey more, and I think that people will make the same case for Saquon Barkley, and I do think that there is a distinct difference between the two. These are running backs in the NFL. Derrick Henry was the most durable man alive until he got hurt.
Yeah.
Like, why can't Jonathan Taylor get hurt?
Absolutely, he can. And that's the only thing that people make excuses for, CMC, why they wouldn't pick him first overall.
If you and that's why I have him at 3 years. Overall.
Exactly. If you're looking at fantasy points per game over the last 3 years.
Not close.
It's not close. You're right. It isn't close. There's a better offensive line. In Indy, you know that they're a run-first team. There's really no competition. It is going to be Jonathan Taylor in terms of touches in the red zone. It's inside the 10, inside the 5. You know that it is going to be him ultimately. But, yeah, I have no problem with either or. I have Taylor 1, CMC 2, and I have Henry 3 as well.
Okay, so we do have the same top 3.
We do have the top 3.
I haven't looked at many people's rankings overall, but it feels like they're not – and it's funny because years like I disrespected Derrick Henry, and maybe I'm just really late to this party, but he's just – you want to talk about safety? I know that they're giving him the ball.
Yeah.
And that's really all it breaks down to with all of these running backs is – how can you project an 80% snap share, 80% of the touches, and all the goal line work for any of these guys? And Henry makes up for his receiving game deficiencies because of the long touchdowns, the fact they still run the ball when they're losing, unlike regular teams for some reason.
And I think that people aren't looking at this, but I know 18 catches isn't much.
It's not.
But he only played, 10 games? He
missed a bunch of time. 26,
he was on pace for 36, 38 grabs. Add that to what you've seen from Henry over the past couple of years is 17, 16 grabs. Now there's no A.J. Brown. There's question marks about Treylon Burks. Robert Woods is new to the team. He's coming off a knee injury.
Robert Woods? Good for Derrick Henry, by the way. Probably the best blocking wide receiver in football.
Won't fight you on that one, dude. There's no question about that. That Derrick Henry was on pace for 500 touches last year. Over 400 carries and 500 touches. He averaged over 26 carries per game. That is absolutely crazy. You are not going to get another running back on this list, even CMC if he plays a full season. Jonathan Taylor plays a full season. Derrick Henry, if he plays 14 games this season, he will lead the NFL in touches. And if you can get a couple more catches, that's just added bonus.
Unfortunately, like when you do the projections, In the rankings, I think you should treat as a guideline for a lot of times. Like some guys, I haven't really looked at too many ADPs, but when I go to draft time, I'm going to have the ADP list in front of me. It's like, hey, who are the guys who are rising up? Well, you might have to go in an earlier round on them because they're popular at the moment, or certain guys that I know I just have ranked higher than where the consensus is on them, that I can wait two rounds on those. So I always try to feel like if I want to grade my draft based off my rankings, now I'm going to end up with a lot of guys that I like. Obviously, sure, they're my rankings. But if you can just add up the numbers, the ranking numbers next to the guy's name and try to get a number as low as possible, yeah, I feel like you've won.
Yeah, absolutely. Derrick Henry in high stakes leagues, NFFC have been following it a lot over the past couple months. ADP, people are putting their hard-earned bucks on the line. I like to see the movement in terms of some of these players. Henry is falling to the second round. Late first, early second.
Who's going ahead of him at running back? Najee? Eckler?
Najee. Saquon is a big riser. Aaron Jones, Leonard Fournette. Leonard Fournette is, despite checking in overweight.
I got him at number 12.
And you should. I'm in. He's a top 10 running back. He's inside the top five in catches, receptions. Tom Brady, pedal to the metal. You know, they got drafted a rookie back in Rashad White. And, you know, Leonard Fournette is just going to be on the field. But a lot of these wide receivers are going ahead of him too, right? Kupp, Chase, Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, maybe not so much, but Adams and Diggs, and then Harris, Eckler, Cook. These guys are going in, and then Henry is falling to the early second round. I mean, if you're a type of person who likes running backs and you pick towards the end of the first, I wouldn't be shocked if you could double tap a Fournette and a Henry, or, you know, get a Lamb and a Henry. I think that's a fantastic start.
Tim, you draft like it's 2005, and you have not changed that strategy in the entire time that I've known you.
That's not quite true.
You would start running back, running back, running back, running back if you could, just because that's how it was when you started. Obviously, that's different now.
Yeah.
Although the zero RB worked for probably... Geez, when we were at Fantasy, like 2013, 2014, 2015, zero RB was the best strategy you could employ. Why? Because no one else was doing it. Right. It created so much value on your team at every position that you could just pick off a running back here, pick him up there, you know, scoop someone off waiver wire. You could piece it together. But then everyone started doing it, and now it's reverted back to, hey, you want to have these bell cow running backs, and there's far fewer bell cow running backs in football today than there was even 7 years ago. And that was even the start of like the cull of a lot of these guys. So if you're at number four, McCaffrey, Taylor, and Henry are gone. I'm just going to make the point that if you're not drafting Christian McCaffrey first overall, you're not trying to win in fantasy. You might lose fantasy because he gets hurt, but that you can make that case for anyone. Yep. You're not trying to win if you're not taking him. So let's assume that those three guys are gone, Tim. Who are you taking at number four? Because I have Cooper Kupp.
You have Cooper Kupp. In a PPR league, how can I say not? I mean, I have to agree. It would annoy me not to take a running back in the first four picks because I'm conventional. I believe you should be starting three running backs, two starting RBs, and an RB in your flex every week when possible. And I hate the idea that I now have to probably plumb the depths for a running back if I take a receiver in the first round. But how could I pass on Kupp or Jefferson? Or like I looked at your rankings. Other than CeeDee Lamb, who I think is kind of ridiculously high in a lot of people's rankings, I agree with all of this, and I would take them all above Najee Harris, who I think is a fantastic player and I would want very badly. I don't think it's a lot of fireworks for me to fire off in your first 10 or 12. Outside of Lamb, I agree with all of them.
So Lamb is at number 8. We'll circle back to him in a second. I have Najee Harris ranked lower this year than I did last year. Oh, wow. In the top. I had him number 7 last year, and a lot of it was just Ben. That... I know what Ben's going to do. He's going to throw to a guy 2 feet in front of him because that's the only thing he can do. It's not that I worry that Trubisky is going to be worse than Ben, but I think the fact that he's probably better than last year's Ben is actually bad for Harris.
Yeah, he may not catch what he'd lead the league in catches. I think he had 74, 94 targets. He probably won't flirt with that number, but he's a good lock to have 60 grabs, right?
Yeah,
it's still
going
to be the
10,
same sort of offense.
But
yeah.
I just feel like if he's not going to get back to that like close to 100 target barrier, he's going to score like 20 touchdowns. I don't think he's going to score 20 touchdowns. So
the offense is going to be pretty bad. And, you know, there's talk, if you believe Matt Canada or not, offensive coordinator for the Steelers, he says Mason Rudolph could really win this job. And that just goes to show you. I know. I don't believe him, but that just goes to show like how bad this quarterback room really is in Pittsburgh. But, you know, what we know about Trubisky, and we haven't seen him in some time, maybe he's learned a thing or two from Brian Daboll and, you know, Josh Allen in Buffalo last year's. He likes to run. He calls his own number. You don't really check down too much in Chicago. I guess for Tim, when just thinking back, you know, he said he really wouldn't take a running back until probably after Chase. Like, if you had your own choice of where you'd like to pick, if you don't get the top three, you would just rather pick at the end of the first, I guess, so you can get yourself two running
always.
Backs.
Always. I always believe you want a man of wheel. You want the first pick or the last pick. I believe that's how you win championships.
I think there's something to be said this year about having an alpha wide receiver. If those first three backs come off the board, to get a Chase, Cup, Jefferson, and then the value.
Yeah,
of the
like if you
have
the last pick.
After.
I mean, if I had the last pick of the first round, it's a 10-team league. I would take Harris and I would take Aaron Jones and I'd be on my way.
You would take Aaron Jones ahead of Eckler, Fournette, Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon, and Saquon Barkley?
Yes, I would, because of the nature of that offense and that Rodgers only has three people he likes to throw to, and one of those three people isn't on the team anymore. I love in a PPR league in particular.
This is half point.
This is half point.
PPR.
I understand that.
So try to address that part of it instead of talking about something we're not talking about, by the way.
What are you talking about?
Well, you're
trying to make a cogent point, and you would rather interrupt me before I finish making
my point. This is just like when we did the quarterback exercise, which everyone should go check out on Mayo Media Network. Subscribe and like, by the way, that you just completely didn't take what we were talking about.
It's a half point. Yeah, I do. And I think that, look, I really like those backs. All of them, except for Barkley. Yeah, whatever. I kind of want nothing to do with him. I like all the other backs. They're just fine. But I believe Aaron Jones is just he's going to have more touches, more carries, more opportunities to score touchdowns.
I like him as well. And he actually played really well without Devontae Adams. He becomes a bigger part of the receiving game. It's just... This is my point. What is A.J. Dillon's role in this offense? Because it feels like it's going to be bigger.
A very similar role, to be honest. I mean, he caught over 30 passes. He had more red zone carries than Aaron Jones. It's going to be a 1-2 punch. This team is going to rely on defense, and they're going to run the rock. That's really what they're going to do with both running backs. I agree with Tim in terms of catches. We could see Aaron Jones lead this Packers team in catches. He's always been, he's always had a nose for the end zone. He's always been a guy that you can really count on having 40-plus grabs in a season. And now with no Devontae Adams, you're losing a lot of targets on that squad, and there's a lot of unfamiliar faces for Aaron Rodgers to kind of get, have a chemistry with some of these players. He's already waving rookies off the field in training camp. He's already sick of them. But the only back, I guess, I would have Aaron Jones over on this list, and I do like Saquon. I think the Saquon thing can kind of go in hand in hand with CMC. If you want to win your league, there's that type of ceiling. But I would rather have Aaron Jones, and I think I know we're talking half point here, but if we were doing PPR, I would have Aaron Jones ahead of Joe Mixon.
Really? So not Barkley, Mixon.
I would have Aaron Jones ahead of both of them in a PPR, but in a half point setting here, I think it's fair. I would have Aaron Jones, though, just ahead of Saquon, just, you know, given the risk.
So the difference, I think, between McCaffrey and Saquon is actually really interesting when you break down the profile that they have. I mean, they're similar, although McCaffrey averages like 5 more fantasy points per game when they play. Why is that? Because Barkley, you know, he doesn't have those like 12 catch games, but he'll have his like 4, 5, 6. That's exactly what you want. He dominates the ball on the Giants between the 20s, goal line, passing game. Yep. He's their guy. He plays hurt, and that doesn't help him. No. You know who doesn't play hurt? Christian McCaffrey. You know what hurts your fantasy team? When a guy is out, sure, but at least when a guy is out, you can play someone else.
Yeah.
Barkley tries to power through it, and he like sucks for 6 weeks in a row and absolutely destroys you. McCaffrey doesn't do that stuff.
No, McCaffrey sits out. Yeah, Barkley tries to play through it. Maybe that's just playing in the market of New York and having, you know, the injury-prone status next to his name over the past couple of years. But I've been really impressed, and I know it's just preseason here and camp, but I've been really impressed with what I've seen so far with the Giants. And my goodness, like bringing Brian Daboll over there, and they're already running motion in practices, things that they just didn't do last year. They were on their own 8 last year, 3rd and 8, and they ran a quarterback sneak. That's how creative that offense was last year in New York. So having Saquon there with Brian Daboll, the offensive line is improved. It's not fantastic. Daniel Jones is not the answer, that's for sure, but we could see a little bit of Saquon. If he could just play 14 games, and people will tell you he's not injury prone, there's been fluky injuries, and I do agree with some of that, but if he could play 14 games, I think he could flirt with what he did as a rookie. Maybe not catching 90 passes, but catching 50 plus for sure.
And it's funny because I didn't bake in the Christian McCaffrey risk that goes along with him, because a lot of it was that Barkley's going to try to play through this stuff where, listen, I'll pick up Chuba Hubbard in place, and it's probably Donta Foreman this year. But
for sure it is.
But last year it was like, hey, McCaffrey's out, I'll play Hubbard. He's not good, but he's also not. He was scoring as many points as Saquon Barkley was when Absolutely. Barkley was trying to play through injury. Like, I can find pieces together. I can make a trade. But if the guy is constantly playing and he's your second round pick, you're going to play him all the time. But if he's healthy, I think he's an absolute smash here. Like, he beats, like, he'll be better than Mixon for sure if he's healthy. But Mixon just has shown a propensity to stay healthy over the last little bit. And I like that his role in that offense, whether it's Chris Evans or it's Samaje Perine that ends up coming him getting spelled a little bit, like, he's not the 90% touch guy. He's like the 75% touch guy. And that keeps him a bit fresher.
It does, and the offensive line is much improved in Cincinnati. Nobody took more sacks than Joe Burrow last year. They did a really good job, you know, through the draft and free agency to bring in some offensive line pieces. It, you know, he still had 40 grabs. For people that say he's not a bell cow back and he doesn't play a lot of third down, because Perine, especially in the playoffs, on the big stage under the bright lights when it all mattered, they put Samaje Perine on the field.
Yes, they did.
Roles. They did, and that will continue this season. But Joe Mixon, to your point, I guess maybe keeping him fresh. You know, he seems to be a pretty durable back. He's, and this offense is really good, where I think you have him ranked appropriately here, even if he only catches 35 passes.
Chris makes a good point there, because he's not Michael Turner the way some people think he is. He does catch the ball. Like, he does have value in terms of receiving in the offense in a way I think does get short shrift. But I am concerned, like Chris took the words out of my mouth again, that when in big spots, I just don't think the Bengals are always going to go to him. And so therefore, I'm just a little more gun-shy about him than I would be with other guys.
Well, I think that you can make that case against Aaron Jones, too. Like, in a big spot on the one-yard line, they might turn around and hand the ball to A.J. Dillon.
And why wouldn't you? Look at that guy. You know what I mean? He's another guy that has a nose for the end zone. He was just shy of 1,000 yards. He's going to get more touches this year. He's going to get more catches. It's just going to be a 1-2 punch. Okay. It really is.
But Mixon has three or four other fantastic players on the offense. That cannot be said for Green Bay. So, like, I actually think there's a degree of difference there.
I don't, because generally speaking, like, even when you, maybe the sets will be different this year in the Packers offense, but if Dillon's on the field, Jones isn't. At least Mixon is out there, so he has the ability to touch the ball. That's what I worry about when we're nitpicking between all these guys. Listen, I have Aaron Jones at 17, Barkley at 16, Mixon at 15. This is a tier of running back, and I think it's your preference. Like, do you prefer Mixon, or do you prefer Jones, or do you prefer Barkley of that little mini tier? I think they're all about the same.
I agree.
I just happen to like Mixon a little bit more. I want to circle back to CeeDee Lamb, though, who I have at number 8 overall, a spot ahead of Stephon Diggs. Would you like me to sell you on CeeDee Lamb, or would you like to tell me why he is massively
overrated? No, go ahead. Well, by massively, I mean, like, you have him at 8, and I would have, let's see, what are receivers? Where would I actually take him? If I look on your list when I go to the receivers, like, I don't know. I would always take Tyreek Hill over him. I'd always take Mike Evans over him. I'd always take T. Higgins over him. Pitts, right there at 23. I think he's overly rated. I don't see it. I don't believe in it. Just you're taking him in the first round. He's your first pick. He is your cornerstone player of your fantasy team. I think that's daft. I would not do that. That's me.
I see.
Tell me. Tell me.
When you're ranking players and you're trying to project out what are the most likely outcomes and then what are the outlier outcomes. So, and the outlier outcomes is how you win fantasy leagues. Like, if you had drafted Cooper Kupp in the fifth round last year, whatever it is, I don't think that anyone saw that coming, but that you could work your way into a case where, hey, with Stafford, if he just prefers Kupp, he's going to end up seeing 30% of the targets, and all of a sudden, boom, you score 20-something touchdowns or whatever the hell he had, and it's like, okay, I can see how that works with Lamb. Who is the competition for CeeDee Lamb? Let's say Dallas's defense is okay.
Yeah.
It's not a top five defense that they play in competitive games where they have to pass. We know they like to play up pace with Dak. We know that they like to throw with Dak. I mean, they want to pound the rock with Zeke until they just, they're like, oh, yeah, 2 yards per carry. That's great. Let's throw the ball now. Who are they throwing to? They're throwing to Lamb, Schultz, Gallup, whenever the hell he comes back. It could be 8 weeks from now.
Yeah, and the two backs.
The two backs and Tolbert. Like, they didn't bring anyone else in. They let Cooper go. He's already the number one. Like, this just has the potential, in my mind, that when we sit here next year and rank the receivers, he's now number one. He's in the Cooper Kupp spot.
I could see that. I don't have him as high as you, but I have him just after Evans and Tyreek Hill. But I think he could. What you're saying,
that's the right spot for him.
And I think what you do, Pat, when you're talking about your rankings and projecting guys, you're looking at opportunities on the ground for running backs, of course, red zone opportunities. Are they going to be bell cow backs? Are they going to catch passes? And targets for wide receivers. And it would not shock me at all if CeeDee Lamb finished first in the NFL in targets. It would not. It is an up-tempo offense, like you said. I would say if I'm banking on it, Kupp and Jefferson are the guys that are in terms of number one and number two in targets. T. Higgins and Chase. Higgins had more targets per game than Chase. CeeDee Lamb doesn't have. They were number one in offense last year in points per game and passing yards. And now they lost Amari Cooper, who's given them nothing but 1,000-yard seasons. They bring in James Washington, who's already hurt. Tolbert, as you mentioned, is a rookie learning the playbook. There is a real opportunity for him. I have some questions on if he can handle top coverage. That remains to be seen. We saw a couple years ago with Juju Smith-Schuster when Antonio Brown left. Everybody just assumed that Juju was going to be fantastic, and it wasn't the case. But the opportunity and the volume will be there in this offense. So I think he's a strong, strong second-round pick and does have upside to be a top five wide receiver.
Now, I'm guessing that he's not going in the first round.
He's not.
I'm guessing that he's going around like
early
pick 14.
Second.
So you could pass on him in the rankings if you wanted, take Diggs, who is going in the first round, and then just follow it up with Lamb and go boom, boom, and you have two top five receivers. Paul, you had your hand raised. Do you have a question about these rankings?
No, more of a statement than anything. Tim said that he would draft Tyreek Hill over C.D. Lamb with Tua throwing him the ball. I'm calling BS on that.
No, look, you know, my biases aside, you see all the time that the Dolphins are trying to – I mean, the reason you acquire Tyreek Hill is because you intend to throw the ball deep relatively frequently. So, I mean, they're going to try. We'll see what happens if Tyreek's good at sort of comeback routes for grabbing underthrown balls. He's going to have a very marvelous season. I don't know. Like, I still would take Tyreek Hill. Is just, I mean, he doesn't need any defense. His skill set is just greater than CeeDee Lamb's. I would take him over Lamb. I remain unsold, not unsellable, but unsold on CeeDee Lamb. And like to have him ahead of Diggs, will Buffalo take a step back without Dayball? Almost unquestionably. But having Diggs he's still so much better.
When you say he's so much better, what does that mean exactly? Like, according to you, like, he's so much better? Like, according to your eyes, and we know you don't have the best eyes, that he's better.
Well, I'm sorry, you brought me on here to express my opinion, and I'm not giving you my opinion. As far as what I can see, yes, I think he's a better wide receiver. I would rather have Stephon Diggs. Yes.
Okay, well, I mean, you can side with Tim. You can have Diggs. I'm going to go with Lamb. I think the difference between the two is how many guys on Buffalo can catch 8,000 touchdowns this year? Because it was Gabe Davis, and now he's out of control in terms of ADP. But now the new hot thing is Isaiah McKenzie.
Oh, yeah.
Got to have Isaiah McKenzie.
Yeah.
So according to this, like, Diggs isn't going to do anything if people are drafting all these guys. Like, what is the realistic expectation for the Bills offense? I think it's going to be good. James Cook. James Cook's another one. Got to draft James Cook. Got to draft Isaiah McKenzie. Got to draft Gabe Davis. Just take Diggs. Like, I agree that Diggs is very good.
Yeah,
but this Lamb, and this is exactly where I had Mike Evans. The Mike Evans year when I nailed Mike Evans and I won every fantasy league. And it's exactly the same situation. Who the hell is taking away opportunities from CeeDee Lamb? Absolutely no one. And that's I'm looking at the projections right now in terms of targets. You were dead on. Kupp, Jefferson, Lamb, Diggs, Keenan Allen.
Yeah.
Those are your top five in terms of projected targets. Davante Adams is like a 0.02 targets behind Keenan Allen. So those are your top six coming through. And if that's half the game is projecting who's Dak going to throw the ball to or who's going to see the ball the most times during the course of the year, feel like that's worthy of a top 10 play.
Yeah, I mean, it's still going to be a really good offense. You know, looking at Dallas' schedule, it's pretty soft. They're still playing in one of the weaker divisions in the NFL. The only thing that I have questions for is if he's going to be able to handle that top coverage. It remains to be seen, but the volume, the opportunity should be there for him. I really like Dalton Schultz. I know we'll get into him a little bit later on, but I think he has upside to be a top three tight end again this season. So it's one of two of those guys. You know, in a little bit, maybe they use Pollard a little bit differently. Maybe he gets more, you know, passes out of the backfield. Maybe they line him up in the slot.
I think you're going to see him in the slot a lot of the time. That's why I bumped him up in my ranks. I have Dalton Schultz at number 53, if people want to know, which I feel just looking at that number next to his name feels very high. And I have Tony Pollard at number 60. I have, where the hell did I rank Zeke? 58. I actually don't want Zeke. I tried to rank him as artificially low as possible so I never have to draft him.
That's fair. I think that, you know, he had a down season and he still had 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns.
Yeah, but what did he do for you on your fantasy team? He led you to a sixth place finish.
He didn't have those high ceiling games like he used to have. He finished as RB6 from a fantasy points per game standpoint, but over the course of a season, he did finish around RB20. You know, he did play through some things, but everything was pretty much career lows for him. Attempts, targets, catches, receiving yards, and Pollard had more receiving yards on fewer targets and fewer catches. And, you know, he runs between the tackles a little bit better at this point of Zeke's career.
I just don't know what we're looking for with, like, where's your fantasy team going if you reach on? Like, where is Zeke going in drafts? Like, fourth round, I'm guessing?
Oh, I think even a little bit later than that. I think where you have him ranked, yeah, people are kind of viewing him as, you know, a low-end RB2. Whether you think that's a steal or not, you could be high on him if you decide to take the opposite approach of Tim and you go wide receiver, or sprinkle in a tight end in your first three rounds, then, you know, the zero RB people, you know, could get involved with Zeke. But I don't think that'd be a strong strategy to have him as your RB1, that's for sure.
No, but I feel like he's in that dead zone of running backs, like Josh Jacobs just is after, in there. Antonio Gibson is in there. Like, I have Damian Harris and AJ Dillon ranked ahead of Ezekiel Elliott, because at least their potential to become number ones is there.
Yeah.
Like, even if Pollard gets hurt, it just, what are we looking at? Zeke 22 carries a game and 4 catches? Like, that's not happening.
He should still at least own the goal line work in Dallas this year, which is
but then you're looking at these
positive.
Like bad Jerome Bettis games, not like
yeah,
9 carries for 2 yards and 3
22
touchdowns.
Carries for
64 yards,
yeah.
And if he doesn't score a touchdown, you're absolutely screwed.
Yeah, you're not getting too much out of him. Yeah, I'm out too. Like, I think the ranking is fair. I think I may have him ahead of Harrison and AJ and Antonio Gibson. I'm not in on, but he's not on my radar.
Here's the issue I have with Tyreek, who I have at number 21, Tim. What are the chances another wide receiver on Dallas outscores CeeDee Lamb, percentage-wise?
I don't know, 15%.
And what's the chance another receiver on Miami outscores Tyreek Hill? 45%?
That's a bit high. I would have said it's like 35%.
Like, that's a pretty, like, yeah. we don't know what it's going to be, right? Mm-hmm. And
we
listen,
don't.
And,
right.
And listen, if Hill is Hill and Tua can throw, and listen, Tua, by the numbers, threw the best deep ball in football
50%
last year.
Completion percentage. The problem is he only threw 26 passes 20 yards down the field. He was 13 for 26, but if you look at the numbers, he was 50% in terms of deep ball percentage.
So good.
But I kind of disagree a little bit. I think the feeling with Tyreek is that he is a deep threat guy because we've seen it so much, and he is. He can blow the top off any defense, but I feel like this offense is going to run very similar to the offense in San Fran with Mike McDaniel moving over. And what did they have in San Fran? They had short yardage throws, crossing routes, get the ball into Debo's hands, Kittle's hands, Ayuk's hands, and watch them go. Like, those three guys over the past couple of years have been yak monsters. For the short yardage, ADOT certainly will be there for Waddle. I don't know if Tyreek's going to be that deep threat guy in the offense.
Oh, I'm with you on that. That I don't think that everything
they're
is predicated
find a way to give
on his
ball.
Deep ball, but there's a chance that Waddle just sees
there's
more targets
is.
And has more catches.
I mean, he's his BFF. These guys played together in college down the stretch. He was getting double-digit targets. So that's not going to be the case. The thing, I am completely unsure about those two in Miami because they both finished inside the top 10 in targets. Now you're having Tyreek leave Kelsey or leave Mahomes and KC, and now you're adding an explosive player, to Tim's point, the upside and the ceiling that comes with Tyreek Hill. You would expect him to be the number one, but it's just a guess. It's an educated guess. I would imagine both of these guys are very similar in targets, and I don't think either of them come inside the top 10.
If you want to check out the entire PME draft kit and all the preseason coverage, check out the comment section, the description of the podcast or video of the show. All the links are down there. It's all completely free to go check out. I did the show with Leone where we broke down the wide receiver tiers. And at that time, that was probably like 5-6 weeks ago now, I had Mike Evans one spot behind Stephon Diggs. He would have been number 10 in these rankings. Then all of a sudden, Chris Godwin has like magic injected into his knee. He's fine.
Yeah.
And they signed Julio Jones for reasons. I still think that Evans is the guy that you want, but Evans was trending toward more like that CeeDee Lamb type thing. It's like, well, Godwin's not going to be there for 6 games. Like, who knows about Russell Gage? And they have no number 3. It's like Jalen Pickens or something like that. I'm like, all right. So Mike Evans is going to have like 170 targets. Great. This is going to be fantastic. But now they just have too many guys.
They do have a lot of guys. If you just go look at the back of the football card for Mike Evans, I just feel like he's been pretty consistent. He's not a guy that's going to catch 100 passes. He's going to be a guy that catches between 70 and 80 balls, and he's going to end up with double-digit touchdowns. He's got 26 touchdowns in his last 2 years with Tom Tom Brady. He's the go-to guy inside the red zone. He's one of the leaders in the NFL in terms of end zone targets and red zone targets. He's just, he doesn't have the same type of volume, and he won't have the same type of volume as some of the guys that you have in around him, but you just know that the touchdowns and the yards, it's hard to predict touchdowns, but you know, it's a pretty safe bet that Mike Evans is going to score 10 touchdowns.
So the 20 to 30 range, Tim, at number 20. Yep. So I have Evans at 18, Tee-hee Higgins at number 19, A.J. Brown at 20, Tyreek at 21, Keenan Allen at 22, Pitts and Andrews, Alvin Kamara, Cam Akers, DeAndre Swift, Javonte Williams, Nick Trev, Travis Etienne is number 30. So we have this, we have the two tight ends in here, number 2 and 3 at tight end in my rankings. You have this grouping of receivers and then this grouping of running backs. And if anyone ever wants to figure out what the tiers are, because it's a list in terms of my running back rankings, but if you just compare the 150 to the running back rankings, you can see where I like these guys in comparison to one another, like where the teardrops are going to be. And it's just not going to be a tattoo on the face. It's actually going to be here on the screen. You can just look at it. Not a problem. So I don't know what to do with these receivers. Like, I have them ranked here. I don't know how, like, I like Evans the best. I like Higgins. I like them all in a vacuum. Do I really want to draft these guys? They're like, you're an Eagles fan. How do you feel about A.J. Brown? If I told you he sucked this year, would you believe me?
He's my bust. He's my bust. A lot of people have him as a top 10 wide receiver. And
I think I do, too. I think he's like number 9.
He is for you. I was going to point it out.
Yo, get mean. We're here to get mean.
Well, I mean, I think he's a really good wide receiver. I think it's a great real-life move for the Eagles. This is exactly what they needed, another alpha. They've missed so much over the past couple of years drafting wide receivers. I mean, come on, we can sit here all day and talk about it. Like Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson.
Reagor? Hardly knew her.
I mean, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside over D.K. Metcalf. Like, the list just goes on and on. So they needed to get it done, and they did. But the thing is, A.J. Brown leaves a run-heavy team in Tennessee where he was just the guy there when they were passing the ball. That's it. Julio gave them nothing. They had nothing else. Now he comes over to Philadelphia, and they have Devontae Smith, who was just fine as a rookie against top coverage at over 900 yards. They have Dallas Goedert. They're a run-first team. They ran more than Tennessee. They led the NFL in rushing yards. They have arguably the best offensive line of football. Yes, they'll probably pass a little bit more. You don't go and acquire AJ, then lock him up over $100 million and not use him, but they are still going to run the football. There's still some questions that I have personally for Jalen Hurts, but if you just put, okay, he had a 27% target share in Tennessee. You give him a 27% target share in Philadelphia, the way that they threw the ball and ran the ball as much as Hurts threw it, you're looking at 7 targets per game. That's not a wide receiver one. He's more of a wide receiver two, but he's not getting drafted like that. That's why I'm just passing.
You're talking me out of my A.J. Brown at number 9 receiver. What do I have him here? Number
I would 20. Much rather have.
Who would you rather have? Guys below him on this list, who would you rather have?
I would rather have Tyreek, Keenan, where we go down the list. That's kind of it. I wouldn't rather have Waddle or McLaurin. I would just rather have the guys, you know, Tyreek, Allen, Pitts for sure, Andrews for sure, and then maybe even like Swift, Kamara, Akers, those backs. I would just rather take a running back in the second round than take AJ.
Javonte Williams or AJ Brown?
Ooh, that's another guy that I feel like is kind of a bust.
No, other way. Oh, man. Turn the other way on it.
I really like
Javonte. You know who sucks? Fucking Melvin Gordon.
He may suck, but it doesn't matter. Like, they still used him. They finished identical last year,
yeah,
Pat, in terms of touches.
Yeah, that was last year. And they're going to finish
but
identical.
But they brought him back.
They're going to finish identical the first 4 weeks, 6 weeks of the season. When it comes time to
that's something
win
I can
you
agree with.
A fantasy championship, Javonte Williams is who you want to have on your team.
Sure, if we're comparing two and who would you rather have, it's absolutely him. But I also think Melvin Gordon going in the 8th and 9th round as RB40 is terrific value.
Sure,
he's not
if
going
Williams
anywhere.
Gets hurt, then you're in the
clear and you're fine. Again, it's the people for the no RB zone. But where you have Javonte Williams ranked here is absolutely fair. But he is going in the middle of the second round.
Yeah, that's too high.
That is way too high.
Take Cam Akers instead.
Exactly. He's going in the 3rd, 4th round, yeah. Right? So I agree 100%. I think this ranking is completely fair, but if you push this up in terms of ADP of where guys are going, you're not going to have any Javonte Williams this year.
No, that's a bummer. Good thing I have him in the keeper league that Tim needs to figure out. I didn't play him last year, so I just get to keep him in the 4th round. It's kind of nice. Yeah. Tim, where would you make on A.J. Brown? Like, almost the same question that I just asked you about Waddle and Hill. What are the chances that Devontae Smith outscores A.J. Brown?
High.
Okay.
Like, I think like a reasonably high chance of that happening. Like 40-50%. Absolutely. Absolutely. Everything Chris said, I think, is dynamite. And I mean, Smith had one of the best receiving seasons we've ever seen in the history of college 2 years ago. And he earned his stripes last season and looked great. I think that there's a really good chance, if not, I would say I anticipate Smith to have more fantasy points than AJ Brown this season.
And there's value. I mean, he's going wide receiver 40-ish. Like, if you're looking for value on the Eagles, it's him.
Yeah, value on the Eagles is Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, that's all you want. I will say that. The only one guy that you want is
okay,
Jalen
Hurts. So would you go, because I really like Travis Etienne this year.
I don't.
No, good news. He's another redshirt on my team.
That's just all speculation on your point. He hasn't taken a snap in the pros. We have no idea whether he can play.
You just pointed to – before you just said that he acquitted himself quite nicely last year, you just pointed to Devontae Smith's – he was so good in college.
Yeah. And then I said – and then Smith played really well last year. Etienne missed the entire season.
Okay, it's
and
good.
Coming off
fresh.
A big injury.
Like, fresh.
You look at him, like, I don't want him on my team. If you're drafting him, he's probably your second running back. I think that's madness.
Be your first running back if you take some stud receivers up top or Kyle
well,
Pitts.
Then you might as well turn in your draft entry and just leave because you've lost. You cannot win.
I have a running list here, by the way, of guys that Cuss doesn't like and has said negative things about that we will recap.
Oh, well,
Paul, are you taking notes here?
Yes.
We're not doing it yet. We'll save it for the end of the show.
I've been taking
it. And Tim says he's got a few more that he'd like to
talk
about. Oh,
yeah. Tim has some gripes with people.
Who to draft and who not to draft.
Yeah, the cuss plays and the cuss fades, and we'll just reverse that order, and we'll be good to go. So I'm going to change A.J. Brown's ranking. So would you go Waddle or A.J. Brown, Tim?
I guess I would take Waddle in a half-point PPR.
I would take A.J. there.
Okay.
But so both of these guys are
we'll keep going
in.
To Tim then. Would you have Scorin McLaurin straight out of the 70s, or would you take A.J. Brown?
No, I would take A.J. Brown.
Okay, so that's the spot after Waddle. I'll go with Tim on that one.
All right.
Guess I was just a bit too high on my britches.
I mean, he's terrific. We know that he's awesome, but it's a lot of uncertainty there in Philadelphia.
It is. I think you really kind of hammered home the point to me, like when you said it, that I knew it, but sometimes it's really weird. Like, let me ask you your rankings process. Like, I try to think, like, especially with the top 150, who would I take? And that can change every 2 days based on, like, some tidbit that you heard. So you do need to have conviction because I had Ja'Marr Chase ranked at number 5 at receiver last year. And then, like, he couldn't see the ball. And I was like, all right, I'll drop him to 8. I still ended up with him everywhere, but like
that was better than what most people
had. It did, but it was like I was so high on him because I built this case, like how he could be a top 5 receiver. Very similar to what I just did with CeeDee Lamb, although I didn't think T. Higgins was going to be as good as he was going to be. It was just, if Chase is as good as everyone says, he could be awesome. And that turned out to be, I don't think he's going to score 8 60-yard touchdowns this year. But the fact that the Eagles just don't throw as much as other teams, even with that 27% target share, it's not worth as much than if you're playing on the Chiefs.
Exactly. That's the thing. And that's kind of how I look at my projections and my rankings. I'm looking at target share. I'm looking at how, obviously, the offense, how they run. You know, is it going to be a run-first offense, a pass-first offense? What's the passing attempts? And that's kind of the thing with Tua when I said that I don't know if Tyreek or Waddle will finish inside the top 10 in targets anymore. Is Tua is a guy that threw the ball like 24 times a game. I don't care about that. Like 24 times a game is not like Tom Brady throwing it 45 times a game. You know what I mean? Where you can make a case for Godwin and Evans. So, yeah, this is a team it's probably in between of what they did last year. They were pass happy at the start. They realized their strengths and they ran the football. I think they're going to be a run first team.
So, do you think that's too high for those tight ends, Tim? 22 and 23 with Mark Andrews and Kyle Pitts. Because we now have A.J. Brown ranked at 31 overall.
Yeah, I don't think so. I actually think it's quite reasonable. When I looked at your draft ranking, I was like, I mean, I think I would flip Andrews and Pitts, but that's only one spot. But nevertheless, like, I think it's fair. I don't have any gripes there. I got gripes. There are, like, looking at this, my first blush is how deep wide receiver is this season compared to running back.
Okay, but
there's so many deep receivers I would want so much more than these guys. Draft value-wise. So I could take running backs early instead.
Yeah, but I just feel like you get into the question mark running back territory so fast. Like, there's,
I agree. That's why you take running backs early.
I kind of feel the same way.
Yeah, but I don't want to sit here and be the guy who took Leonard Fournette over Justin Jefferson, and Justin Jefferson has like 2,200 yards.
Yeah,
I'm just
sure.
not going to be that
That's
guy.
Fair. That's fair. That's fair. But I would probably rather have, you know, who do you have as a running back like Mixon and someone like Amon St. Brown 5 rounds later, who is like 95% of those guys?
No, he's not though. He's not that. That is
might even be
such
more.
A misconception. You think
I
that,
love him
you
so
think-
much? I love him so much. Love Amon St. Brown.
There's a lot going on in Detroit too.
I couldn't believe how low he was when I scroll. First, I got to Debo and went, I can't believe he's that low. And then I kept scrolling and went, oh my God, he's even lower. I was like, this isn't, I couldn't believe it. He's so good.
So for reference, I have Amon-Ra St. Brown at 49 overall, which I felt like was kind of high. And I have
Did you look at where he finished last season in fantasy?
Yeah, unfortunately, we're not playing last season, Tim. We're playing this season.
Of course.
There's a lot of very circumstantial reasons why he finished as high as he did.
Because he's awesome.
Primarily because he was the only receiver on the team besides Josh Reynolds for the final six games.
Still awesome. How dare you?
I think I have him ranked at number 49. I think that's pretty good. Where are people ranking him? That would be wide receiver number 26.
Yeah, I think that's really his ADP. Yeah, wide receiver 30 actually is roughly where he is. Tim, I have him like roughly wide receiver 30, 31. I'm a little concerned. I think he's fantastic too. I think he's great.
No, you don't.
I do, but dude.
You don't think that.
I mean, you got TJ Hockenson on the squad. You bring a DJ Chark, Jameson Williams, who's eventually going to be back inside that offense.
Hockenson. Oh, he's the great DJ TJ Hockenson, who's never been able to perform up to his talents. I'm really terrified of TJ Hockenson. This is the year, is it for him? Please.
I would pass on TJ Hockenson, I will say that, but he's still going to be on the field and he's still going to be a target, especially inside the red zone. There's a lot of different moving pieces on this Detroit team, plus DeAndre Swift, who's like 50-plus catches in his
resume. Here's the thing. I have DeAndre Swift at number 26 overall.
I'm kind of surprised about that, actually.
I don't like him.
Why? I feel like he's your type of back.
He is exactly my type of back. It's not that I don't like him. I do really like him, and I see the potential to him being the number one overall fantasy running back, and I understand that case. Here's the problem. Dan Campbell's their coach, and they're going to start using Gordon Owubuke, or what the hell that guy's name is. Oh, he'll have seven carries. Oh, Jamar Jefferson?
No.
Oh,
well, sign. Moving on to Anthony Lynn.
Who is that one random white running back that they were using last year for no reason? Craig
moving
Reynolds?
On from
yeah,
Anthony,
it was.
Is that his name?
And you know, especially after watching Hard Knocks, you know who's going to be involved as a pest in that offense, and it's going to be Jamal Williams. Jamal Williams is going to play like 50% of the snaps.
I love this Detroit team so much. The NFC is so weak. They're going to have such a big year because the NFC is so weak.
Leave the Lions alone.
Yeah, I really think it's like the Browns too.
I don't
like you. The team that's likeliest to go. The team that's likeliest to go worst to first. There's a worst in their division to first in the division is Detroit. I'm not saying I'm predicting that. But they are the likeliest team to finish fourth in their division to win their division.
I actually wouldn't be shocked if they came second. I wouldn't be shocked if they finished
ahead
of Minnesota or Chicago.
I think they're going to be a wild card team.
Oh, I mean, that was my best bet. We haven't done the Me, Cam, and Rob show. We're doing gold, silver, bronze futures for the season.
Yeah.
Pretty sure my gold pick, because I already have put a lot of money on both of these. I found an alternate win total for the Bears, 5.5.
Okay.
Under pays plus 150.
Wow.
And I also bet them 12-1 to be the worst team in football.
Yeah.
They got no one. They got no one.
You see, that's the thing. I sent it to like our group chat, and even like everyone's like, well, like the Bears are all right. I was like, go look at their roster.
They're atrocious.
And the one
and I did.
And our one friend's like, well, they have Roquan Smith. And what happened? He requested a trade.
I couldn't believe it. I went through that roster after you said that. I was like, there is nothing here. This is awful.
Like, Fields would have to be so good for them not to beat that.
He's just in such a tough spot. They didn't do any favors. The only favor I guess they did for him is fire Matt Nagy.
They drafted that guy who's like 40 years old.
Velus Jones is like a special teams guy who's probably going to return punts for them. I was getting excited about Byron Pringle, and then he got hurt. And then I was like, why am I getting excited about Pringle? Wait, because they have nobody on their squad. They have Cole Kmet, who finished inside the top 10 in targets and receiving yards and receptions, but he scored zero touchdowns on 60 grabs. And they have Mooney, who I do like, but this is going to be a run-first offense behind a weak line, rookie head coach. Yeah, it's going to be atrocious in Chicago. It's a really good bet. I don't know what the odds are for them to be the worst team in football, but I'd imagine it's pretty good.
It's 12-1.
It's pretty solid.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
When PXG says nobody makes golf clubs the way that they do, they're not lying. The PXG clubs I now have are absolutely incredible. So when I heard about their new Black Ops driver, the driver that promises you don't have to sacrifice distance for forgiveness, I had to try it because they call me the sandwich on the T-Box. I got an awful lot of slice, and I've spent the past 3 years trying to work that out of my game. So I had one driver, then I had another driver, and then I went to a swing coach. I'm still going to my swing coach. And I went to a PXG location for a fitting and got my Black Ops driver, perfectly tailored to me. But here's the sneaky thing. When you're average height, like Pat Mayo, not a whole lot of fitting you need to do. Clubs are made for you, but if you're taller, if you're shorter, you need to go to a PXG location to make sure that it's perfect for you to get that Black Ops driver with the breakthrough in driver technology. Because let's face it, we're not the guys that we're betting on all season long. We have some struggles when it comes to the game of golf, but we do want to get better. Like, I'm actively trying to get better. I took myself down from a 20 handicap to a 10 handicap, and I'm really hoping that without losing a bunch of balls and adding distance, adding accuracy this year, that I can get into that single digits. Maybe even try to challenge like breaking 75 this year. I broke 80 last year, hoping to break 75 at least once this year. And I do think with my new PXG Black Ops driver that I might be able to accomplish that. It's at least given me the best chance that I have. It has more forgiveness, more distance without sacrificing anything. Game changer has been thrown around so much it's really lost meaning. But trust me when I tell you, the PXG driver is a true game changer. You'll be as impressed with it as I am. So learn more and get free shipping on all equipment at pxg.com/mayo. And use code Mayo at checkout. That's pxg.com/mayo, code Mayo, for free shipping on all equipment. pxg.com/mayo, code Mayo.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And the best part about the Bears' schedule is you're going to know whether they're going to be have the number one pick and have the worst record because they play Houston, Jacksonville, the Jets. They play the other really shitty teams in football.
The Jets are good. What are you talking about?
If they just lose to those teams,
then they're locked.
Well, then the other teams have the tiebreaker on them.
Yeah, then they're a lock. Yeah, it's going to be. And even other running backs on the squad, like Khalil Herbert.
I like Herbert.
I like him too.
But I would never play him unless Montgomery was hurt.
Well, that's the thing. It kind of feels like a wasted pick unless you fully don't believe in David Montgomery, who's kind of doing some special team stuff with the squad. But Montgomery's got 90 catches in 2 years, 1,000-yard back. I don't think he's going anywhere, but Herbert's going to be sprinkled in. Ebner's a guy that they drafted as well who they seem to like, so it's going to be a run-first team, and when they are down by 30 points, they're going to struggle to play catch-up.
It's funny because people were hyping up Mooney for a while, old Mooney Tunes. I wasn't really sold. Like, you worry about CeeDee Lamb drawing all the coverage. The hell is this guy going to do?
He's going to face a lot of really elite corners.
Yeah, with Fields throwing the ball with 1.4 seconds to throw it to him.
But it's another guy that I do believe will flirt inside the top 10 or 12, at least 15. Like, I'd be shocked if he didn't finish inside the top 15 in targets. I think the only bear you want, I am drinking the Kool-Aid on Cole Kmet. I am a big Cole Kmet guy. We're into year three now. He's explosive. We just talked about the lack of options that they have. There's reports out of Chicago that they're interested in Jalen Reagor. They don't have anything.
He could be what Brandon Cooks was last year for your fantasy.
No, I see.
Played really well on a team that had nothing.
See, I disagree, because we know Cooks is good. We don't know if Mooney is good.
It remains to be seen.
I meant Kmet.
Oh, Kmet. I need to see the status on, I think it's his knee, but he's banged up right now. Like, if you just put them both healthy in week one, I'd rather have Irv Smith than Cole Kmet.
I wouldn't. I think Irv Smith is a little bit, I think he's just overrated. People just want him to be the guy. Mm-hmm. Now you got Kevin O'Connell, the offensive coordinator of Minnesota. It's a good thing for KJ Osborne and Adam Thielen. And it's they ran more three wide receiver sets in LA than any other team. And they're going to run that this year. Sure, Irv Smith going to be sprinkled in, but KJ Osborne's going to be the guy that gets spiked up.
Maybe, but it's not like Van Jefferson had some sort of huge year. Tyler Higbee was still a viable fantasy tight end. And like Irv Smith is free.
Nah, he's kind of going around the same range. Yeah. I feel like they're going back to back, and I'd much rather have Cole.
Kmet Reeks, though. Look where he went to college. He sucks.
Tim just said it because he's a lovely player.
I was waiting for that.
Yeah. Lovely player.
I was waiting to hear where he went
to
college.
That has no bearing on it.
Mooney, by the way, in terms of my projections, is actually ranked for the 14th most targets in football. He is projected for one more than Michael Pittman is. But obviously, we'd all rather have Michael Pittman.
Oh,
why is
no
that?
Question.
Because Pittman's probably a better player in a much better situation. Like, if the teams have to focus on Darnell Mooney, and he's the only guy you got, it's not a good situation to be in for the offense, for him, for anyone. Look at Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson's better than Darnell Mooney, probably.
He is.
But he couldn't do anything.
He couldn't, but also I think he was...
Yeah, the COVID.
I don't think he had
the COVID.
And I don't think he wanted to. Like, he wanted a contract just like Roquan Smith. Like, he wanted to get paid, and they said, no, listen, you're not getting paid. And he probably said, screw it. I'm not going to play out this entire season awful. And he did, but he also sat out a little bit, didn't play through those injuries. Like, we were talking about Saquon and CMC. He didn't play through that stuff. He just said, you know, I'll get my contract, I'll get paid, and he did. He's in a fantastic spot. You brought up Pittman. This is a guy that I think you have ranked a little too low. Pittman is a stud.
I am making a stance that I am not drafting him.
Because he's going too high and people like him too much?
There's only a few guys that I know this year that are going way above where I would want to take him. Gabe Davis being number one.
Yeah, I agree.
Michael Pittman
that.
Being number two. I get all the cases for Pittman. But here's the problem about Matt Ryan. He's not any good.
He's got to be better than Carson Wentz, no?
Why? Why does he have to be better than Carson Wentz?
Because Carson Wentz hasn't shown us anything in a long time. At least Matt Ryan was serviceable last year. This is an upgrade at the quarterback position.
Maybe in talent it is an upgrade. But, Tim, we watched so many of those Colts games betting against Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz hit his, 99th percentile in what he could have achieved last year. He played so much worse than the baseline of what actually... How many drop picks did we watch, Tim?
1,000. your point about an upgrade, I don't actually think there is much of an upgrade there, honestly.
Wentz played over his skis so much
that
should be just what Ryan does. Like, I don't know how much better it's really going to get.
It can't get much better, and Indianapolis is not nearly as... I don't know, they're an overrated team.
So it may not get much better, and people are saying that he's going to break out, and I disagree with that. I think he broke out last year. He had 1,000 yards. What are we looking at? He's not going to get 1,400 yards. He's going to have another year where he has 1,000 yards, but he's going to finish as a wide receiver too. I mean, I don't
Watch
know.
Watch out for someone like Paris Campbell in that offense.
Forget he about Paris somebody. Campbell. He's already hurt.
He already cursed him. He cursed him again.
No chance, man.
He'll
3 years
fine.
In a row. Tim, I love Paris Campbell dead.
This is why I like Pittman as much as I do, because they have guys like Alec Pierce, who I actually would much rather have than Paris Campbell.
What about Doolin? That guy loves stealing touchdowns last year. Mo Alie Cox. Can we get some Mo Alie Cox in our life?
Yeah.
There's another guy who's better than Cole Kmet. Screw Cole Kmet.
I'm telling you, believe in Paris Campbell.
I have Pittman at number 20. I don't think that's unreasonable.
I think it's fair, actually.
At receiver, that makes him, number 38 overall? Like, here are the guys that, if we go 30 to 40, and we'll recircle back to Akers, although I think people have heard my spiel on Akers enough already.
People don't like him, though.
Yeah, people hate him.
I don't know why.
I don't get it. I mean, I do get it, but I don't. A.J. Brown, McLaurin, Debo, D.J. Moore, Deontay Johnson, Cooks, Cooper, Pittman, Prison Mike Williams, and then you have the Kittle, Darren Waller, and Cuss Buddy Breece Hall at number 42. So I have Pittman behind.
Breece Hall's good.
I haven't ranked at number 42. Wait, how much higher would you put Breece Hall?
No, I think it's very fair we have him.
You should start calling him Breece Holmes.
Just like this, you know what? Don't tempt me. That's right up my alley. There's a lot of players that are deep there that are just like the Jets are going to have a very interesting fantasy season.
Don't they have too many? But don't they have too many guys for one to be really great? That's why I have Hall ranked so highly. I don't know what to do with their receivers. You can tell me Moore, Davis.
CJ
Secret of the Uzma, Tim's buddy Mimsy, who's probably going to be cut.
No. All the running backs, like you would have said that about the Bengals too, but they made it work because they had great quarterback play and they had top tier talent. Well, the Jets have that too.
Well, they don't have top-tier quarterback play. They just have some guy who's, like, concerned about banging MILFs.
Since we're on the Jets, I do feel like, and I, you know, Tim could obviously speak to this, and I don't know where you have Garrett Wilson. I see Elijah here. Oh, so you have 115. I feel like the gap in ADP for those two guys is too large. I feel like it's the similar situation we just talked about in Philadelphia. Obviously, A.J. Brown is, we know what A.J. has done, and we have 1 year of Smith, but we've seen just a handful of games with Elijah Moore. I've seen nothing from Garrett Wilson, and I think that Wilson may be the better wide receiver.
Garrett is so good. You watch him on tape, as I have, intensely, since they drafted him. He is so
on tape.
Good.
Intensely.
Do you know what Tim calls watching tape, by the way? He types in Garrett Wilson best play highlights in YouTube, and he sees like five plays. He's like, oh my god, this is every play.
Sold. Done. He actually was my favorite wide receiver coming out of the draft.
We've seen Moore do it at the NFL level.
Yeah,
and we haven't seen Wilson do it. I think that has to be the divide between them.
And one guy plays in the slot, one guy plays outside.
And I think Moore is going to move around a little bit as well. Like, he had a lot of success on the outside last year. I think it's a little bit different between, like, I have Drake London at number 74, for example. And I have Jameson Williams and Garrett Wilson at 114 and 115. Like, even if Jameson Williams comes back and he's good, he has to deal with the legend of Amon-Ra St. Brown. He has to deal with DJ
Turner. See, both of you don't like, it's nice to know that the both of you don't like him. So when he has a really nice fantasy year, neither of you get to say, oh, I really like him as a player. No, you don't like him. You think he's a bad player. I understand that. That's fine.
I may have
welcome
him
to
right
your opinion.
The highest of anyone.
You actually may that I've been following ADP risers and followers, and I see him
I take
right around
a
wide receiver 30. So Pat, actually, Tim, you and Pat like Amon-Ra probably just
well,
the same.
Just take it as a personal insult that he's this low.
Is he like is he one of your keepers? Is that why you like him so much?
No, I don't have him as a keeper. I wish I did.
Is he on our friend other Tim's team, and are you trying to curse him?
No, he's not. I'm not playing these games. I couldn't tell you who has him. Just like he has become one of the players that I really, really enjoy to watch, and I think he's incredibly talented.
I agree. And like he feels
no, you don't.
I mean, I do. That based on go look at where other people have Amon-Ra ranked. Put it that way. And just the guys ahead of him. Like, I'm at number 26. Like, you would rather have Amon-Ra than take the chance on Michael Thomas. I wouldn't. I'd rather have Michael Thomas, who is apparently healthy now.
He's at least on the field making plays.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Like, you might be able to draft wide receiver 3 in the 8th round.
No,
he might suck.
He's a game changer. Yeah, there's two ways it could go. I'm in because of where he's going. He is moving up draft boards, roughly pick 70-ish. You know, this time last month, he was picked 95.
Okay, so he's the middle of the sixth round. What else are you doing with your middle of the sixth round?
Exactly. And if you're somebody that, like Tim, likes to, you know, and I kind of agree with Tim's strategy in terms of running backs. After the first 20, I feel like I hate them all. So I want to get at least two, you know, in my first 3 picks. Where you're getting maybe Michael Thomas as your third wide receiver. My goodness, to be your third wide receiver, the upside. And if he doesn't work out, he doesn't work out. But if he does, you're on your way.
Yeah, most definitely. And that's why he's ranked ahead of Amon-Ra St. Brown. So these other, the Michael Pittman guys, so he's at number 38. I think that I'm higher on Cooks and Cooper than I think that Cooper is an absolute steal. Like, if you want to tell me, talk to me about who the biggest steals are inside, like, this top 40, I think that Cam Akers is a steal at running back. I have him at number 25. I think that Amari Cooper, who I have ranked at number 37, absolute steal. And I don't care if it's Watson, he gets suspended the entire year. I don't care. Brissett, they have one guy. It's the same case for CeeDee Lamb. It's just, you know, the talent throwing him the ball is a little bit lesser. We know they want to run the ball more, but if he ends up with a 33% target, he's in the exact same situation as Brandon Cooks.
He is, and Brennan Cooks finished inside the top 5 in target share and air yards. And
still finished like wide receiver 11 or something.
He's been a top 20 wide receiver in each of the last 2 seasons, and he proved everybody that it really doesn't matter. Like, the only reason why people didn't want to draft him last year is because of Davis Mills and the Houston Texans.
I mean, didn't matter.
It didn't matter. So nope. Everybody disrespects Brennan Cooks. Teams. Nope. Even teams don't want this guy. They're shipping him off every other year. So I think he's terrific value. I really don't know what to do with Amari Cooper. I'd like to hear what Tim has to say about Amari Cooper. I do agree with you, Pat. I wouldn't be shocked if he was like 33% target share, which is very beneficial. But, man, if it's Jacoby Brissett all year, it could be pretty frustrating.
I'd be fine with him.
I think that I have DJ Moore ranked at number 34. But if like Cooper smashed DJ Moore in terms of fantasy points, not like smash, but like scored like 2-3 per game more, not going to be super stunned.
No.
Yeah, I think I'd rather have Cooper.
I think so too. I mean, he at least finds the end zone. DJ Moore is fourth in the NFL in yards since 2019, but he's got like 10 touchdowns.
So tell me why you love Debo so much. I feel like I am down. It's just my guess. I have Debo at number 33 overall. Again, a guy that I wanted to rank artificially low because I don't want him this season. I just think that last year is such an outlier on the fantasy stats that he puts up. And the best case scenario for him is to never take a running back snap again. For fantasy purposes. For real life, no, obviously.
Because he's got incentives in his deal if he gets three rushing touchdowns or X amount of rushing
yards. Sure, but like he's not going to score a rushing touchdown every six carries. That's impossible.
I know.
Like that can't sustain itself. And maybe he is the outlier and I'm wrong. I am not betting on an outlier. I would much prefer Debo to be the guy who's getting nine targets a game and seven catches. At least I can rely on that for fantasy. But when we first broke this down, I went game by game and looked at Debo. And when he started touching the ball on the ground like six, seven times a game, which don't count as points, by the way. Those are just whatever. The catches, like some games with two targets, four targets. Yep. Like, I don't want that. That's horrible.
There was a point in the season last year where his rushing yard prop was higher than his receiving yard prop. And I'd never seen that before from a wide receiver. I'm out too. The price is too rich. He's going as a top 10 wide receiver. Obviously, you are not going to have any Debo Samuel this year because he is going much earlier than pick 33. But now you have a rushing quarterback in there as well in Trey Lance. So Trey Lance is going to steal some touches. You know, inside the red zone, he's more than capable of running it himself. Maybe they scale back from Debo. And you take this with a grain of salt, but in 2 years of training camp, it's been Brandon Ayuk who is...
I like chances Ayuk outscores Debo this year. 35-40%?
I'd say at least 25. I'd say roughly 25%. Wouldn't be shocked. Deep threat guy in the offense. Lance got a cannon. It's not accurate, but he does have a cannon of an arm.
And now we know, as we will hear Tim talk, Debo's very cursed, it sounds like.
No, look, I just like the opportunities for the touches. I think he's exceptionally talented. I think with a quarterback who is a little more raw, I expect him to lean a little bit more on both Kittle and on Debo. I could see shovel passes coming out of the backfield, which count as passes happening. I don't know. Just it seems to me like Debo is sort of that unusual, weird player, and I kind of like that, and I kind of want that on my fantasy team. I mean, I might have him a touch higher than you do, but like once you actually look at the context of the actual players who are there, the number may have seemed weird to me initially, but I guess the people, for the most part, you have ahead of them, I guess I would agree with you, but... I don't have to work hard to say he's a special player, but just I like the context in which I find him. And I think he's going to have another excellent season and have lots of opportunities to touch the ball, which is something I'm looking for.
I just looked up the ADP. I'm like, Javonte Williams is going at pick 16.
I told you.
That's too high.
I told you. That's too wild. For a guy with the timeshare split, man, it really was. And Russell Wilson loves Melvin Gordon. He actually pushed the organization to bring him.
Did they play Wisconsin together?
Yeah, I think so. But look, the thing is that Melvin Gordon is terrible, and he shouldn't even be spoken on this podcast.
He's a thorn. He's like that pesky Mark Ingram. He's just there. He's going to do stuff.
He's going to be a pain in the ass for Javonte Williams owners.
Debo, here it is, Tim. Debo is being drafted as the number 17 player off the board, wide receiver 6.
Tim won't have any shares either.
No, that's a little higher. That's higher than I'd have him, but I totally get it and I understand it. Even though that's a touch higher than I would be, I get it.
I don't see who in their right mind would draft Debo over CeeDee Lamb. That makes no sense to me.
I'm with you. Tim may not be, but I am with you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't
clear cut number one on the squad.
Cam Akers, Tim, do you have a Cam Akers take? Because I think that
he screwed me last year. So I want nothing to do with him, but that's all based on my own personal spite.
So you drafted him and he blew it as Achilles.
I kept him for the year before, traded for him,
and kept him. Then he got hurt like a day later.
Yeah. So my dislike.
You are the one to blame, sir.
Everyone blames me for everything. That's fine. So my dislike is all based on spite, like Jerry bringing back that jacket to the clothing store, but. You know, I don't know. Just there's so many mouths in Los Angeles to feed that it could go any number of ways. Akers is a fine player, but I got burned by him, so I'm out. But like, I appreciate that my reason for being out is explicitly and only based on my own personal spite, which is no reason to do anything.
Everyone is going to point to, it's a very short turnaround from an Achilles tear. he came back and played in the playoffs. And they tried to lean on him until it just turned out he was just not effective.
They did lean on him. He wasn't effective, but he did. He had 67 carries in four games after coming back from an Achilles injury.
He's fine.
Over his last eight games, he has averaged 21 touches. And if you put that over a full season, or 21 carries, actually, I think it's 21 touches, 19 carries. If you put that over a full season, he would have been second in the NFL last year in carries. They like him. It took a while. His rookie season, it really did take a while. But they like him. They didn't draft. Who did they draft? Kieran Williams? That guy stinks. He's already hurt. Daryl Henderson is
fine.
A walking soft tissue injury.
But he's fine, though. Like, I like drafting Daryl Henderson later.
He's late. If you don't like Akers, you can make. If you don't get Akers, you can do that. It's a really good offense, great offensive line. They're going to score a bunch of points. Sure. But Cam Akers, it's clear they like him.
Yeah. True. It's the Achilles thing that really worries people, but like, he already came back from it. Exactly. And now we're 7 months later.
Exactly.
Like, he should.
Yeah, no, you're right. If you're one of these people that chose to take receivers early and he's like, you're running back two or whatever, like, okay.
No, he'd be running back. Like, if you could theoretically in drafts this year go Justin Jefferson, CD Lamb, and then because Cam Akers is going way later than this.
He's going in the fourth round.
He's going at pick. Where's old Akers at? Cam Akers is going at pick number 35. So theoretically, you could get Jefferson, CD Lamb, Pitts, and Cam Akers and start those with your first four picks.
I'm not delighted, but it's not the worst. I mean, I really don't like having Etienne, but
I didn't even say his name. But okay, we know you.
Oh no,
don't
you said
like,
Pitts, didn't you?
No, I said Pitts. Yeah, Pitts, and then
yeah,
Akers.
Sorry. Yeah, I don't love it, but I don't hate it either.
So you could theoretically, if stuff breaks the right way, Kupp has a little bit of a dent. You're not saying that he's going to be bad or anything like that, but Jefferson and Lamb could be 1 and 2 at receiver. Pitts could be number one at tight end.
Yep.
And Akers could be top five at running back if things break the right way.
And let's be honest about the efficiency, too. Yeah, he was coming back from an Achilles injury. They gave him those touches. He was getting targeted out of the backfield. He also went up against four top 10 run defenses throughout the playoffs.
And he's also 4 months removed from tearing his Achilles.
Which is, yeah, the kicker.
Yeah. Now it's a year.
Yeah. And he looks great in camp. I mean, he's out there, right?
Yeah. I mean, you can take Etienne with your next pick, maybe. I feel like he's a buzzy guy.
He's going early.
Yeah, he is someone that, when it comes to Etienne, I have him at number 29 in the rankings. Half point PPR, full point PPR. There's a chance he leads all running backs and catches like that. And I don't know when James Robinson's coming back. Does he have the Achilles?
He has the Achilles too. Yeah, I was going to bring him up.
He's not Cam Akers.
He's not, but you know, apparently he's going to be ready to go week one. He is practicing, and Doug Peterson
did say he would be the lead.
I would say that Robinson leads this team in carries, but ETN's got a higher ceiling because of what you said with the catches. And they can line him up all over the field, too.
Yeah, I don't think...
Very weak wide receiver.
I think it'll be sort of like the advanced version of Tony Pollard. Like, he'll probably get his 8 to 12 carries a game, and then he's going to end up with, like, 7 to 10 targets.
Yeah.
Basically, a discount DeAndre Swift.
Yeah.
Is what you're looking at. With the potential to maybe he's just, they did spend a first. I mean, that regime is no longer there,
sure.
Mind you. But he is playing with this college quarterback. That seems to be a thing of late. Like,
oh,
that
absolutely.
Really works out for people in terms of fantasy points. And, you know, he's got the year off. He's going to be coming in very fresh when we think about it. So 40 to 60. And this is where we're going to try to wrap it up. And again, you can just check out the rankings. The full ones are down there. We're going to do more shows on the seal. He's going to be on 40 through 60. Kittle, Waller, Breece Holmes, Chris Godwin, Rashad Bateman, Justin's brother, and Justine's brother, James Conner, David Montgomery, Marquise Brown, Michael Thomas, Amon-Ra, St. Brown, Gabe Davis, Allen Robinson, DK Metcalf, Dalton Schultz, Josh Jacobs, Antonio Gibson, AJ Dillon, spitting hot fire, Damian Harris, Ezekiel Elliott, Cordarrelle Patterson. Then I got some Tony Pollard. And what I really do want to talk about we'll circle back to those guys, maybe guys that are too high, too low in that range. Josh Allen, I have at quarterback one. He's number 61 in my rankings. Mahomes is number 62. Justin Herbert is number 63. Lamar Jackson is number 64. Jalen Hurts is number 65. I don't think that there's a huge fantasy difference between those five guys.
That's my exact five as well. Not in the same order. I do have Herbert number 2 over Mahomes, but those are my five. And... yeah, I don't see much of a difference between the two. I mean, you got obviously the rushing floor with the final two that you have there, and Lamar and Jalen Hurts, who was quarterback 6 last year in fantasy points per game. Yeah, I got no beef here. We can get into a couple guys that I don't like Cordarrelle Patterson at all.
I disagree.
Oh, no. Now I feel worse about that.
So I disagree. I'm not even saying he's poorly ranked. I think he's probably correctly ranked. But I really like him. And, I mean, look, Atlanta's got Mariota playing quarterback, and there's not a ton of talent on that team outside of Pitts. Cordarrelle Patterson should get a lot of touches, and he should continue to be more or less what he was in last year's offense. I think Arthur Smith will continue to use him in very similar ways. And so I think what we saw last year was an aberrational. I think it's likely to continue. And so, I mean, for example, you have him below Zeke Elliott. I'll take him over Zeke Elliott all day.
I have them back-to-back, 58 and 59. I can see it. But you kind of did spell out a case with Zeke where I just don't know if Patterson's like Patterson can lose his job to the hell.
Tyler Allgeier.
Yeah.
He's in almost the best landing spot for a running back. Yeah, it's a poor team, but like Cordarrelle Patterson is not that type of running back to run between the tackles like that. You could even see it towards the end. He can, and they'll line him up all over the place. That won't go anywhere. But he's not going to be out of these running backs. I mean, Pollard is in there, I guess, but he's going to be a guy that probably averages 5 carries per game.
I think it's more than that.
I don't think so, man.
Let me see.
This isn't a guy that had Patterson's a lot of double-digit carries.
Patterson's also not a pure running back, right? He's an H-back.
Exactly. I just don't
Which
feel...
Which is great.
It's good. Like he's a special player, and we've finally seen one season from him. I wouldn't be shocked if it was just the outlier. Like, if that was the outlier season for Cordarrelle Patterson. New quarterback.
Okay.
You mentioned Mariota. Maybe Ritter. Struggling on offense. I think Allgeier is actually a decent back. I think it could take a couple weeks, and he's getting first and second down opportunities and all the goal line work there. So I don't know. Like, he's a wild card player. He's like one of those game changers. It's like Gaskin last year. Like these hot waiver wire pickups that just had one season. I just have a hard time spending that capital the following year.
I have Cordarrelle. He's being drafted as player number 82 overall.
You got him.
He's going behind Kareem Hunt and.
Yeah, that's pretty decent value.
He's going behind Miles Sanders, who I'd almost rather have Kenneth Gainwell at this point.
I mean, don't want any of them. But yeah.
Like, that's the range. Why is Rashad Bateman going at number 86 overall? That seems way too
low. Yeah, it does seem a bit low, doesn't it? Although
he's wide receiver one.
Yeah. I think he's – I got him as in the mid-20s somewhere.
Yeah, I have him number 23.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Lock and loaded number one. Lamar looks beefed up. I don't know.
Beefy Lamar?
Beefy Lamar. He's chucking balls deep down the field. I don't know how accurate he is with them, but he's throwing them deeper.
Beefy Lamar is trying to get that big beefy contract at the same time as well.
There is one wide receiver I know you don't want to go outside of 60 that I think...
No, we can go. We can kind of freestyle from... I just want to finish talking about the quarterbacks for a second. At pick number 61, I'm never getting Josh Allen.
No. Nope.
That's never going to happen. I doubt I'll get Herbert or I'll get... Mahomes, but
you can get Lamar there.
I think you can get Lamar or Hurts there if you.
You can.
Where's Hurts? Hurts is
typically
Hurts is
Allen.
At number 65, and Lamar is number
should be right around there.
51, actually, he's going up the board. So I think I'm more likely to end up with Hurts, the most of that group. But that's where I would start taking quarterbacks.
Yeah, I don't. I wouldn't touch one until round four. But Allen will go before that, and then Herbert, Mahomes. I'm with you. I think, you know, we talked about the Philly offense, the one guy that you want inside that offense. And, you know, in around that range is pretty good value for Jalen Hurts. He's a top 5 quarterback for me, too.
All right. So, Tim, there was a couple guys that you wanted to speak upon, apparently, that you really like or don't like throughout the top 150. Hit us with who those guys are.
I love Adam Thielen, even though he's 70th. I don't know. I just love him a lot. I would take him over a lot of the guys. You have in the 60s. I mean, you had all those quarterbacks in the 60s, so that maybe that compresses his number. He's such a great player. I just feel like he's low. Which other person I put a big star next to? Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't understand the love for Cortland Sutton. I don't get it. I don't want him on my team. There's too many other players there. Like 71, I'm not drafting him. There's no way I'm drafting him. I'm not even considering drafting him there.
So you won't get him. That's actually one guy that I like. I mean, he's
He's really Jerry Judy up. Is every bit the player, but, you know, better.
Yeah, and he's cheaper. I could agree with you there. Like, if you're picking in terms of ADP, but like in a vacuum, I mean, give me Cortland Sutton. Are you kidding me? This guy was top 10 in terms of deep target percentage. He's basically Tyler Lockett. They're right there in target percentage of at least 20 yards down the field. Who's the best deep ball guy in the NFL? It's Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, 74 Tua. Pass Tua. Attempts. Yeah, I guess it's Tua. 74 pass attempts for Russell Wilson last year of at least 20 yards down the field. That was number one in football. 19% of his pass attempts, at least 20 yards down the football field. That's number one. And Cortland Sutton, these guys are a match made in heaven. And Tim Patrick is a guy that I really like, and he's done. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about two wide receivers and Judy and Cortland Sutton.
Don't tell Tim that. He was going to draft Tim Patrick. He wouldn't know he's out for the year.
And Russell Wilson supported Lockett and DK Metcalf can support two wide receivers, better offensive line in Denver. I am really bullish on Cortland Sutton to the fact where I have him as like a top 20 wide receiver.
And I've sort of middled it. I have Sutton at 71. I have Judy at 78. I really don't know.
I think they're both going to be fine. One guy, I mean, Judy at zero. Obviously, it's going to be a different offense. Nathaniel Hackett coming over, new quarterback. But zero end zone targets
sounds
for Judy.
Sounds better, by the way.
Sounds much better.
Sounds a lot better than what they had last year.
Yeah, absolutely. Zero end zone targets for Judy last year. Patrick actually led the team with eight. But Sutton, again, he's that deep threat guy, seven end zone targets. I just feel like it's just so perfect the way that he runs his routes, very similar to Tyler Lockett, accurate quarterback. I'm really excited about what that offense could look like with both of those guys. Sutton's going to cost you a bit more. I agree with your point. Hey, you don't want to spend the capital on Sutton. A couple more rounds later, you get Jerry Jeudy, you have a piece of that offense.
All right, well, it sounds like Chris both agrees and disagrees with you, Tim, about Cortland Sutton. So who else?
Do you have Clyde Edwards-Helaire on the list? I wouldn't draft him with a 5,000 foot pole.
91.
I'm down on him.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Who else here? We kind of mentioned Devonta Smith already. Mm-hmm. I kind of like Devonta Smith.
Where do I have him?
You have 79.
All right. Cool. That feels like the right spot.
I feel like he could be a touch higher. Who else do I? Oh, I really like Hunter Renfrow. I really like Hunter Renfrow.
So you like white receivers?
No, I happen to like Hunter Renfrow. I think in the Oakland offense, he fits in a nice spot there. I expect big things from that team this season. I think McDaniels is going to revolutionize what they're doing. And like I think it's going to be really, with the top coverage always being drawn over onto Davante Adams, people like Renfrow should be able to run free through secondaries and a lot of opportunities. It's going to be really nice. And you're going to have a really nice season.
Well, I mean, I have him in the keeper league if you want to trade for him. Here's my issue is I can see how he has just as good of a season. And with Tim just said, with Davante Adams there, the issue is his target share last year just can't be the same. It's impossible.
It is.
Or they don't throw to Davante Adams.
The way that McDaniels has run his offense now, I don't want people to come at me. You just come at me if you want. It could be a lot like Tom Brady, Randy Moss, and Wes Welker. I'm not saying that Davante Adams. See, I know what you're saying. I'm not saying that Davante Adams is
going
to have 40 touchdowns.
16-0.
17-0.
17-0. They're going to lose
one more
to
go.
And they're losing the Super Bowl. But the guy to fade in this offense is Darren Waller. He's not going to be a top three, top four tight end. It's going to be Davante Adams, and it's going to be Hunter Renfrow, to Tim's point, in the slot, mismatch, terrific route runner, red zone target. It's going to be those two guys. If you follow McDaniels and how they've run that offense and how they ran it that year, again, Adams is Moss, Welker is Hunter Renfrow, who's the tight end. It's going to be a very similar offense. And I'm not going to make any – I mean, Adams is going to be awesome. I think Hunter Renfrow is going to be awesome, but Darren Waller is the guy that you want to fade.
So I have Renfrow at number 76. I have Waller at number 41. I'm guessing you would argue that's too high. That's why tight end number 5 on my list.
I think it's fair, actually, 5. I do have Schultz.
I wouldn't even draft him. I would just take one of the bottom of the barrel tight ends at that point.
I agree.
Okay. I mean, I can
after
see,
Kittle, there's no tight end I need badly enough to draft other than somebody late.
I mean, I was considering putting Schultz higher than 53, but like I had to temper expectations just a little bit. So who is it from? I mean, I've ranked the guys towards the back end a little bit higher, obviously, on my list, and they probably appear in ADP or anything. You know what I don't like? Seattle running backs. I don't care that Kenneth Walker is like a good guy or something.
And I think he's already hurt.
Yeah, Penny's already hurt.
Yeah.
And Chris Carter.
Oh, please.
Chris,
he retired. Come on.
What? He's always hurt, Tim.
Of course he is. It's all he does is get hurt.
Yeah.
But, like...
That's the one threat, I guess, for the Bears bet, is that Seattle's the worst team in the NFL.
No, Seattle's too competent is the problem.
I guess they have wideouts.
I mean, Jacksonville didn't get much better.
Jacksonville got a lot better,
just
by
getting
the
way. Doug Peterson.
Really yeah, they bad. Got they got a real coach, and they have three new offensive linemen for a team that couldn't block last year.
Well, I mean, look, I do like that. That's true.
That's good. And they went out and they got Christian.
Like Doug Peterson. I do like Doug Peterson.
Etchin's back. Year two of Lawrence.
Marv.
Marv's still kicking. Don't love him in fantasy this year.
No. not a lot to
Tony, learn. Wendale Robinson, because those two guys seem to be like one and two in for the Giants.
In on Tony, I have him as a top 40 wide receiver. He's the only Giant that I would touch.
Tony.
Although we did talk about Saquon, but there's no way you could say anything that you want about Kenny Golladay, and there's no way that I would touch that guy. He's got no separation to Daniel Jones. There's just not. They don't sync up. It's not the right fit. Daniel can't make that pass to him, that throw it up pass. So Tony in the slot, absolutely love him. Wandell is going to be sprinkled in a little bit more, but we talked about Brian Daboll and what he did in Buffalo coming over to New York. You know, running guys in motion. I'm really excited about Kadarius Toney. Interesting. I guess we could have a conversation about the KC guys. Like, you have
Juju,
MVS,
Pat,
Juju,
you
and
me,
Sky all
you,
in the
you
same
You want to
range.
Know who you shouldn't draft this year? Juju.
I can tell by the way that
I
you have them
Patrick.
Ranked.
Oh, no.
I agree with
no,
Patrick.
You need to go the other way.
Sky Moore is the
for
guy
too many
that
years
like.
On his, my fantasy team. I pay close attention to what Juju is up to, and he's nothing but a heartbreak.
Oh, yeah, man, that's. I would draft Valdez-Scantling before any of these guys.
I like Sky Moore. I think he's
pick your poison.
Yeah,
draft Travis Kelce.
Draft the cheaper one, and it's probably
Juju's
Sky.
The most expensive by far.
He is, and you don't want Hardman, Mecole Hardman.
Mecole Hardman.
I don't want anything to do with that guy. Yeah, I mean,
I moved Damian Pierce to number 95. I think he's going to be the guy for the Texans by like week 6.
It could even be week 1, right? Yeah. Marlon Mack, Rex Burkhead.
Burkhead will be there. He'll bug you.
He will. He'll hang. There's like those rookie backs. I feel like one of the four will be absolute game changers this year, whether it's James Cook, who is the most expensive. Probably not him. I think he's got the higher ceiling because the offense.
No, see, I don't, because there's no world in which he becomes the number one. Like, Singletary is going to be that guy, and if Singletary gets hurt, they'll bring back Zach Moss to like split that role. It seems like they have a
they
very clear vision. Yeah, or they just won't run.
Which we've seen. But they've wanted this type of back. They tried to get McKissick. It looked like they had him locked in, and then they spent a second-round pick on Cook. They haven't had this element in with this core offensively. But what I was going to say is that Pierce is later, Algier is later. I mean, Spiller is a little bit later.
I don't think you want Algier. I really don't.
He's free.
Yeah, but so was Mike Davis last year.
Ah, Mike Davis.
Mike Davis, good pick this year, by the way.
Maybe.
Because J.K. Dobbins and Gus Buss are like
Gus won't
back.
Be ready, but I am excited about J.K. I think he can be.
I'm excited for J.K. Dobbins, too.
I think he'd be low in RB2.
Excited for J.K. Dobbins.
Where do you got him? 67?
Jot that down.
Elijah in the range of Elijah and J.K. I think that's fine. I like what Tim said about Thielen, too, just a touchdown machine. That's why I like K.J. I would have K.J. a little bit higher than some of these other guys that you have, like Braxton Berrios.
Oh, we're outside.
Berrios is good.
Of course he is.
That's kind of why I brought him up.
But they're outside the top 150.
Sure. Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah, my bad. 150.
Yeah, I had the rankings down to 200, but I was like, I'll just call this the top 150. Like, when you look at the rankings, it's top 150. Too many guys to manage at some point. And like,
you're right.
How many guys are you really drafting here?
Yeah. Plus, your IDP guys aren't in there.
That's true. How do you feel about Isaiah Pacheco? He's getting some real buzz here in the preseason.
Yeah, just like CEH is the next Brian Westbrook, right? I think Pacheco is compared to a little bit of Jamal Williams and Kareem Hunt in his game. I'm not buying it.
I mean, I know Tim's going to agree with me, and this is going to cause him to like have an aneurysm or something, but I think Jerick is the back that you want in Kansas City.
I'm not.
Well, I like Jerick so much.
I'm not going to argue that either. I won't argue that either. He led the Chiefs in the playoffs in rushing and
he's
receiving
really,
yards.
Really good.
Teams
he's always been really good.
Teams in the play. It's like the Akers thing. Teams in the playoffs will tell you what
they
want
show
to
their
do.
True cards.
What they think is the best path.
Which goes back to Chris's point about the fact that Joe Mixon found himself on the sidelines when the rubber met the road.
Yeah,
but didn't he get hurt in that game? Isn't that what was going on?
No, they
deciding
had
drive of the Super Bowl and they put P. Ryan in, like, and he couldn't block. He couldn't make the block
if
on the fourth down to lose them the Super Bowl.
If that's the case, then Mixon was clearly hurt. Like, the only reason that you bring Mixon out in that situation is that he's just not operating at 100%. You know you can't have him out there. So you have to go to a different
situation. Was that the play in the Super Bowl, too? They had P. Ryan, and they had him, you know, P. Ryan misread. He was on the wrong side of the field, and he would have been wide open. And they still actually went back to him after that.
Like, that's pretty clear that Mixon probably had something going on.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's kind of how they used him.
Yeah, but they hadn't used him that way in the previous three games. We saw P. Ryan, but we saw, like, 80% Mixon. And all the goal line was Mixon's.
And
any other person you want to hype up, Tim, from this list, or down talk, or just you want to throw some shade at them?
No, I think I've hit the people that I want to hit that are based on this list. I mean, I'm sure there are grudges that I have forgotten, or players that I'm fired up. I've forgotten Jerick, for example. I am fired up to hear that Jarek is the guy in Kansas City. Like, I forgot all about him. I wouldn't, but now that you brought him up, I'm like, oh, that's right. I forgot about him. I need to hype him up.
Well, we're not touching CEH and we're not touching Ronald Jones. It makes sense to take the cheaper guy in the offense.
Well, I mean, this is just like last year when who was that random loser you were telling me was so good that was on the Eagles, Tim? And I told you that he wouldn't make the team and he didn't make the team.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember who that was now.
See, I don't even know. I mean, it wasn't Boston Scott, but he was a wideout.
It was the random dude who was like great off the waiver wire for like Fulgham.
Oh, Travis Fulgham.
Travis Fulgham. Oh, yeah. I thought he was really good.
Yeah, he wasn't.
Man, I went on a random pod. I don't even remember the pod, and somebody asked me if he was going to be a top 20 wide receiver the following year for like dynasty leagues, and I was just like lost my mind. I was like, nah, this guy stinks. He's no good.
Lazard, I have at 75. People seem to like, people don't want Lazard to be a thing, and I get it, but someone's got to catch the ball.
Yeah, I think Tunyon. He's a good target.
Tunyon should be good this year, too.
I think he is also a good target. Yeah, 2 years ago, I think he had double-digit touchdowns. Now he was going to regress a little bit, but now he's healthy. Last year, he wasn't healthy.
And now he's free.
He's got Rodgers' trust already. We know that. You know, Romeo Doubs is getting a lot of love, and he's making highlight reel plays in camp. It is only camp, but Watson is probably not going to be with the team to start the season, so there's an opportunity, but I heard Tim chuckle when I said this earlier when we were talking about Aaron Jones. There was a play in camp, I think an RPO, where Doubs didn't catch the ball and Rodgers said, get off the field, like already. So we know that he has, you know, has had issues with the MVS. So who's the veteran wide receiver? That
Randall Cobb?
No, it's Lazard. It's not Sammy. It's not Cobb. It's Lazard. He knows the offense. He should be. I think he's a terrific. And he's going roughly wide receiver 40. I think it's a really good value.
Yeah, it's just for the potential upside that's there, I am in on that. I have Trey Lance, I think, ranked at number 7 at quarterback.
Might like, be a little high.
It's
but
fine,
but
he is a quarterback that you take in like the 8th, 9th, 10th round, wherever the hell he's going, yep, to try to win your league. It's like when we sat here and we had this discussion last year and talked about Hurts, everything exactly happened to what we said about Hurts. He doesn't need to be real life good. He needs to be fantasy good.
He's going
to
be exactly what Hurts did last year. Hurts had...
But with probably a higher ceiling.
Probably a higher ceiling because of the
But if he starts playing poorly, I wouldn't hesitate as a fantasy owner to throw him overboard and go after just whoever's playing well as a quarterback.
No. See, there will be some dud games from him, but he started 2 games last year and had 130 rushing yards in those 2 games.
Yeah, in that Arizona game, he had 20 rushes.
Yeah.
In his first start.
And I have high hopes for him, too. But I'm just saying, like, outside of the top quarterbacks, I don't have much patience, and I like to ride the hot hand.
The thing with this is where you have him ranked. I think most average, like, you know, high stakes, he's kind of going in around that range, quarterback 9 or 10. But, you know, when you're drafting with your buddies, you're going to see, like, even in my home league with my friends that know a lot about football, they won't draft him over Wilson, Stafford, Brady. So you're going to be able to get him a little bit later outside the top 10 quarterbacks. And Tom Brady, too, right? Quarterback 3 last year.
Yeah, I have Brady.
It's fine where you have him. Yeah. But it's just like, why take Allen?
Like, I would rather have Trey Lance and Kyler Murray for fantasy.
Yeah, but to Chris's point, why take Allen when you can get 95% of it out of Brady and not draft until much later?
Yeah.
Because you don't get 95. Go look at their fantasy points from last year. How many more did Allen score per game? 2.5, I think. Like, there was a distinct gap, like, at how good Allen was. Just Brady doesn't run the ball. It's free points from Josh Allen. And that's my thing about Kyler. Is everyone just talking about Kyler as this like supreme rusher? After 6 games, the last 2 years, he stopped running.
I think he went from
'cause he keeps getting hurt.
I think he went from 800 2 years ago to 400 last year. The attempts weren't there. The injuries a concern.
And
now
James Conner started getting the ball at the goal line. When Kyler was calling his own number, that was great. And he doesn't do it.
Just like 2 years ago, midway through the season when he got hurt, Kenyon Drake. It was Kenyon Drake who was getting no goal line touches, and then Kenyon Drake was inside getting all those touches. Yeah, I have some concerns about Kyler, actually. You know, with no Hopkins, they were, I think, 3-4 without Hopkins on the squad last year.
Yeah, he's like back at Hollywood. Week 7.
Where would a full Hopkins be on your ranks? Would he get into the top 20?
That's a good question.
No. Top 20 at receiver? Maybe. Not top 20 overall. I think a full Hopkins, you never go full Hopkins, but I think I'd still rather have Cooks and Cooper. I think he'd be right there with Pittman and Mike Williams and those guys. Like number top 40, wide receiver 18, 19, 20. He's going to miss 6 games.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I have Hollywood. Yeah. And now Hollywood Brown's there as well. It's not like the corpse of A.J. Green is the guy he has to beat out.
Yeah, another guy.
Although he still does.
Another duo that used to play with each other in college. It seems to be the thing that most, you know, organizations are doing. I really like Hollywood Brown. I think where you have him is fair, but
I don't love him. is the thing.
It's all right. 1,000 yards last year in a run-first offense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't mind him.
He's got the dropsies. He's got a case of the dropsies.
Damian Pierce, Kadarius Toney. Draft those two guys and Trey Lance. From 10 on, get those three guys and you'll be good. Those are Pat's rankings.
Can't hate it.
Paul, have you been keeping the running list of cuss guys? Cuss people?
I even made a fancy little Photoshop on the fly. That is why you guys pay me the big bucks.
Draft C.D. Lamb, fade Aaron Jones, draft A.J. Dillon, fade Tyreek Hill, draft Saquon Barkley, draft Travis Etienne, fade Amon-Ra St. Brown, so good, coughing. Fade Garrett Wilson, fade Deebo Samuel, fade Cordarrelle Patterson, fade Adam Thielen, draft Cortland Sutton, draft Clyde Edwards-Helaire, fade Hunter Renfro.
And then I think he said one more.
Jarek.
Well, yeah, poor Jarek.
Who are some of the other ones I wrote down here? He likes J.K. Dobbins, Adam Thielen, Hunter Renfro, Devonta Smith, and really hates Barkley, Juju, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and Travis Etienne. So those are you need to know who's Andrew Kirst and who's not. Now you have the entire list.
I'm in one league. I'm going to utilize this draft. This is going to be my draft kit going into it.
It's all you need, that graphic.
And if I win the money, I'm going to thank Tim, obviously. And
I can. I'm going to hear about it every single Sunday when you tell me about your reverse curse team.
It's true.
I can't wait to be with Tim on a Sunday when Amon-Ra St. Brown finds the end zone. I want to see the excitement.
It's just going to be finger pointing in your face saying, I knew.
Wait, okay, give us a realistic. I mean, I don't know if you can do that or not. I have him at wide receiver number 26. If you had to rank him amongst receivers, Tim, where would you rank Amon-Ra St. Brown?
Okay, let me look at your actual rankings and see
29.
Where I
would have,
No. Where would I have slid him in? I would have slid him in 29th overall. I would have put him right behind Deebo. I'd have put him at 34. Sorry, 34 is where I would have put him.
You would have put
ahead
him
ahead of 30 DJ Moore. Yeah, ahead of DJ Moore. I had Deontay Johnson, Brandon Cooks, Amari Cooper, Michael Pittman. But I would have put him behind Deebo. So yeah, right behind Deebo.
So you'd have him at number 14 at wide receiver.
Yeah, that still seems too low.
What?
Still seems too low, but I'll go with it. Still seems too low. I mean, the guy in his rookie season had 90 catches, 120 targets, nearly 1,000 yards receiving, and only 5 touchdowns. I expect, you know, probably 100 catches, probably a 950 or 1,000 yards, probably 6 or 7 touchdowns. I expect an improvement off last season's performance. He's a really, really special player, but he doesn't get any plaudits because he plays in Detroit, and it's easy to bash on Detroit. Well, I disagree.
This was like that time that you were all in on Austin Culley the year after.
He was going to be so good that he got hurt.
Forgot about him.
Oh, yeah. He had like 83 catches one year.
Yeah,
he was a
monster. That was an outlier year.
Your rankings are both – you're at FTNFantasy.com, completely free, by the way.
Yep. FTNFantasy.com, half point, super flex, old school standard. People play in those leagues?
No, I don't know. Tim probably does. Tim has a secret league where it just has standard scoring.
It's funny.
No, I hate it.
We just moved away 2 years ago from standard. It took a long time for our commissioner. We were like in year 20 for the league. But yeah, PPR, half point, super flex, it's all there over at FTNFantasy.com.
The only thing I dislike more than standard scoring is like bonuses in season-long fantasy. Like, I get it for DraftKings. Like, that makes, like, because you need to differentiate players somehow.
Absolutely.
And reward, and it's 1 week. You need to reward big plays. That's important. But for, like, oh, yeah, this guy had 101 yards, 10 bonus points instead of the guy who had 99. I was like, what?
You know who has those settings in his league? A guy we went to college with and we worked with.
Do I like him or not like him?
I think you like him. I think you're okay.
You think I like him? Does that mean I don't like him?
Yeah, maybe.
Is it Eric LaPage?
No, my God. Eric LaPage. Oh, that's a name.
Eric
LaPage. Camera 2, Drew Livingstone. He's got bonuses all over the place.
He's
got bonuses for 20-yard runs. He's got bonuses for 250 yards passing, 100 yards on the ground, 100 yards through the air, 50-yard touchdowns, like 100 points, and his defenses are spiked. He gives like 5 points for sacks. I mean, defenses score like 40, 50 points in his league. This is ludicrous.
Drew, every Thursday during the PGA season, would find the guy who was winning winning after four holes and then bet on him. Like some guys never heard of. It was like, this guy was 500 to 1.
You're doing it wrong, Drew.
You just bet him at 10 to 1 2 minutes into a golf tournament.
And you
the guy would never
make the choke on Friday.
In fairness, he went from doing my solo camera and your solo camera, and now he's the producer for Steve Dangle.
Well. He's doing
at Sportsnet.
Well.
So he's doing all right.
And he's doing the show with Cam. Well, I mean, I don't know if he's doing it this year.
Yeah, he does the same show that I do with Cam, but he's not. Drew, if you're watching, you're not Pat Mayo. I'm sorry. You tried to learn. You're more like cussed than me somehow. I don't know how that happened.
Drew has hot takes, which I do appreciate.
He does, but he doesn't share them on camera behind a microphone.
Yeah, he's
cowardly on
camera.
He'll tell you whatever he wants. Yeah.
Well, but I find there are times he'll tweet something and I'll respond by saying, I actually agree with this. And multiple people will come out of the woodwork saying, oh, gee, what a shock you two agree on something.
His hot take year is Jamar Chase is like, he wouldn't touch him unless he was like wide receiver 20, 25. He wouldn't touch him, but he would never say that to us on camera.
That's the thing. Like if he gave his takes on camera, like he has in real life,
do it,
money.
Yeah,
but he won't.
I still remember the cowardly lion. I still remember the day when I was visiting fantasy, and he looked at Gabe and said, "How did the Tennessee Titans trade for Eddie George from the Oilers? What did they have to give up to get him?" And I thought Gabe was going to jump through the roof. Drew had no idea that the Oilers had moved to Tennessee, that there had been a team move. None of that made, he had no idea of any of that history. And it's just like Gabe was going to jump on his chair and go through the ceiling.
Unfortunately, Gabe was too busy chatting with Bet365 on their hotline about a table tennis tournament he had bet on that had happened at 4 o'clock in the morning.
It was a Scandinavian table tennis tournament that the over-under, they hadn't credited it correctly, and he knew because he watched.
Well, we were working together the 1 year the NHL was a lockout. He said, Meany, and tune are you with the KHL? Because I need to make some bets tonight. I said, not very, man. What about American or European handball? I said, no, not at all. And then the next day, Feinberg comes over to Zato and I and Omalon in the front. He says, guys, don't talk to Gabe when he comes in. I need him focused and ready to go. Do not talk about European handball today. He just walks in the office. We just like put our heads down. We're not going to say anything to Gabe.
Do you have a promo code for FTN?
Meany.
Meany. Code Meany at FTN Fantasy, FTN Daily, FTNBets.com. I assume it gets you a discount?
It does. 20% off.
Oh, geez. That's better than the 10% off for Code Mayo at RunTheSims.com. But hey, I'm helping out with RunTheSims.com. It's just tools. No one's telling you who to play. There's no rankings, but you can customize any projections. There's betting tools. There's optimizers, a do-it-yourself optimizer for every fantasy slate. There's the preseason projections that are in right now if you want to capitalize on those slates. The tools are top-notch. Plus, there's a Discord server if you want to jump in and chat around with people as well. So RunTheSims.com/Mayo. Get yourself 10% off. And if you use promo code Tim and August.
That's not my name.
You will be cursed for life.
That's mean. No, you won't be.
Do you know, Tim, what you get with promo code Tim and August?
I have no
idea. It doesn't matter what you get, pal.
I knew that was going to happen.
Oh, did you? Then why'd you respond?
Because I'm an idiot.
Fell for that.
The plank.
At Chris Meany on Twitter, at Paul Shag. Credit Paul for his great producing of the show. Real-time graphics as we're going through. People need to know about what's going on with the curse. You can follow Tim at Tim Andercast or Tim Anderson 87, whichever one he decides to turn on that day. And at the PME on Twitter, all the rankings down in the description. We got the top 150. Football's almost here. Listeners League is down there as well. So thank you all for watching. Smash the like, sub to the channel, rate and review the audio podcast, and I will see you next time. Experience.